Good morning, 7:39 here on the Mighty 690. As we go throughout a Friday edition of the program, heading into a holiday weekend for some, I'm told. So it's a good time to, I don't know, get some relaxing and all that good stuff. And hey, it is time for a legislative update. We have Representative Ron Bryce here in the studio. How are you doing, sir?
Good morning, James.
Hey, it's good to have you here. So I know we're gearing up for the 4th, and while the 4th might not be the biggest thing here in Coffeeville, we have summer celebration, and that is the big thing. So we're kind of looking forward to that.
Yeah, it's great to be alive in Coffeeville, Kansas right now. We're just roasting coffee and selling ice cream and enjoying life, and looking forward to 4th of July, and actually the 8th, which is a week from tomorrow, will be the big celebration.
Yeah, that's great. So you had an exciting past couple days. You were on Fox here recently. How did that happen?
Well, that was really a surprise. I was honored to be one of the speakers at a Kansas for Life event, two of them here in Kansas over the last month or so. And I met Kaylee McEnany, who's a host on the Fox News channel. And we got a good conversation going, and we talked about some of the pro-life issues. And she said, hey, we need to get you on Fox News. And I thought, well, I never thought of being on Fox News, but sure enough, about a week ago, got a call from the producers, and they set it up, and I got to be 3 or 4 minutes on Fox News, and it was kind of nerve-wracking, because you're probably used to this, James. You're a media guy, but I'm just more of a face-to-face guy, and so they told me, go to this studio. I was actually visiting my parents at the time. They said, go to this TV production studio. So I go there. And it's this little room, like a closet. It's all black, and they've got the bright lights shining in my eyes. Nobody's in there, you know, and I'm in this room with, can't see anything with the bright lights, and I've got this little hearing aid thing in my ear, and they're trying to ask me questions, and I have to pretend that I'm talking to a person, you know, but I can't see anybody. So.
Oh, you can't even see him?
No.
Oh, my.
No, it's a one-way video. So they were just, you know, beaming me to New York. They weren't beaming New York to me, so I did my best, and I tried not to, you know, besmirch any of my friends and relatives by doing a bad job. But it was a great honor. She wanted to talk about, and I've talked about it on your show here on KGGF, but the Born Alive Infant Protection Act and how that's going to affect the future. You know, one of the abortion statistics just came out is abortion is much, much more prevalent the last year or so in Kansas. It's, I believe, out-of-state abortions are something like over 100% increase, which from my point of view, my perspective, my worldview, that's a big negative for our state. And but that's what we deal with, and she wanted to talk about that. So it was fun.
Yeah. Well, you know, it is, that's the thing, you know, I'm sure I would be, if I was in your situation, I probably have the same level of nerves right there. I mean, TV is a lot different, you know, and two, they're really crunched on time. You know, we still got 16 minutes, which will go fast.
Yeah.
But you know, they're like, they squeeze you in a couple minutes and they got to go on to the next thing. So.
Yeah, I know over the years I've watched cable news, and I've seen them interview people, and sometimes there'll be a Zoom call where there's some delay, or somebody has a bad connection, or somebody can't get the earpiece to work. And I kept thinking, well, that's going to happen to me.
Oh no. Yeah.
But it all turned out technically to do just fine.
Well, that's good. Well, hey, that's exciting. So it is still kind of neat to have that chance in the national spotlight. Now, the other thing that I know people are interested in hearing about is any updates on this white powder situation with all these letters.
Oh my goodness. That's been really, on our minds, because, I guess most people know about it. Some may not, but a couple of weeks ago, I know from my point of view, I was over about half a block from here at the post office, and I was opening up my constituent mail in the post office lobby, and I opened up one, and poof, white powder comes out. And I was by myself in the lobby, and I thought, oh my goodness, it's anthrax, or who knows what it is. It was a threatening letter, hoping that I died and so forth. Got the hazmat people over there. I almost called KGGF because I knew they were going to close down the post office for a few hours. So I almost called you guys, tell everybody not to go check their mail for a while.
Yeah, well, it would be handy to have, you know, something, because sometimes we're in the dark on these sort of things too.
Yeah, but it fortunately, my powder, as far as they can tell so far, the one I was exposed to, actually, the different letters have different powders, and mine just had some kind of corrosive chemical in it. Some have had rat poison. None of them have had anything like anthrax or bioterrorism that we've detected so far. But the letters were mailed to Republicans. That's one thing that I was amazed by the mass media. You know, they say state officials. No, it's all Republicans, all conservatives got these letters. They're all the state representatives, Republicans, and state senators, the Republicans, and the Republican attorney general. And it's a little nerve-wracking, and it makes me mad because, you know, one of our kids or our family members might open up one of these letters, and who knows what's in it, and could be injured. And I want to just say thank you to Senator Dina Sykes. She's the Democrat leader in the Senate, and she has condemned these terrorist acts, and I appreciate that very much. I think if it were on the other foot and the Democrats were being sent letters, I think I would definitely want to condemn it. But not all Democrats are like that. We're still waiting on actually the governor, lieutenant governor, House Minority Leader. They are silent on this right now, but I hope politics doesn't overtake good sense and relationships and camaraderie.
Well, I know the governor's going to be here in just a little bit.
Oh, good.
So I believe she's going to stop by the opening of the new Sherwin-Williams Park.
Yeah, that's going to be great. I hope I can see her there.
Yeah, so Matt's going to be over there and covering it and all that sort of thing. But let's also talk about, we have Senate Bill 180 that is going to be going into effect here pretty soon, right?
Yeah, actually in less than 24 hours, Senate Bill 180 takes effect July 1st. And you might recall that's the Women's Bill of Rights. I was on the House Health and Human Services Committee that helped to kind of hash out these details of this bill. Representative John Epley, who's also a physician, he was involved heavily with this also. And there was a lot of give and take. But it basically says because the Kansas statutes have male and female mentioned in them, but do not define male and female, there's some confusion about, especially with people transgendering and so forth, what that will mean and how we define these terms. And so the agreement was, and the final compromise was, in the state of Kansas, the statutes that say male or female have to do with their biological sex at birth. And so it wasn't pleasing to everyone, but I think it's the best we can do to make sense of what we have. And what it is, if you have a birth certificate, say, and you have transitioned and taken hormones or had surgery and transitioned to the opposite sex, you can, if you changed the sex designation on your birth certificate, you can keep that birth certificate and use it, but for the official records, they will be reversed back to your sex at birth. And so same thing with driver's licenses. You know, some people have changed their driver's license that they were born male. They've gone through these surgeries and chemicals and they've changed the designation on their driver's license. They can keep that driver's license, use that driver's license, but on the official records from now on, after July 1st, it will go back, revert back to their sex at birth. And it's kind of like, some people were worried about that, but it's kind of like if you have a driver's license and you change your address. Well, the address might be wrong on your driver's license, but you can still drive with it. You can still use it. It just, next time you get it renewed, you have to have your address updated. So it's kind of a paperwork thing for driver's licenses and for birth certificates and for correctional facilities. One big issue that we ran across in the legislature is, say, biological men being housed in women's prisons. And you could just imagine what kind of a problems might arise with that, especially if they are sexual predator type criminals. And so the statute that we were able to pass over the governor's veto was to help define these things, help bring some common sense to correctional facilities. And I know I've heard, and actually these threatening letters that we've received, to tie back into that, they are referring to these transgender issues as the threatening letters come to us. But so some people are not happy with that. But, I think if you're a legislature, you have to put yourself, just think of yourself in the shoes of the legislature. You have to make sense. You have to make definitions. You have to decide on how we're going to go forward. It's not going to please everybody, but you have to listen to everyone, make decisions. And I'm proud of what we did in the legislature, and I hope that it will turn out for the best possible outcome for everyone.
Very good. And we're happy to take your calls with Representative Ron Bryce if you're interested. If you got a question for him, we got a few more minutes that we can do that. 620-251-6909 or 1-800-252-KGGF, the normal open line number. And if you would like to ask the senator, or excuse me, House of Representatives, I call you, Mauricio Virgil Peck. House Representative Ron Bryce, if you have a question for him. Again, 620-251-6909. 1-800-252-KGGF. This is a good time if you do have a question to ask him directly. And I know on the whole white powder thing, that I believe the last thing that I read was that some of the Republicans who did not who did not vote for this this bill did not actually get letters.
That's my understanding. As far as I know, no. As of yesterday, the report was no Democrats have received the threatening letters, and the Republicans who were not supportive of Senate Bill 180 did not receive the letter. So, you know, and also I can say a few things about them because it's public knowledge. I don't want to speak too much, ahead of everyone. But the letters were kind of strange because when I got my letter, the return address was a local church, and the name on the letter was a strange name. It was looked like a Hispanic name. And so it turns out all of the letters that I know of were local church return addresses. Say, you know, Representative Doug Blecks over in the Caney area, he received one that had a local church address on it. But the names on the letters for the return address were all transgender activists. And so I don't know if it's, you try to think, what are the motivations for people trying to bully legislators and the attorney general? You know, at first glance, it looks like it's related to the transgender issue. And that's very sad. But the name on my letter was actually a transgender activist from Brazil who was deceased a couple of years ago. And that seems to be the pattern.
So let's go ahead and head to the phones. Good morning, caller. Do you have a question for Representative Bryce this morning?
Yes, good morning. First, I just wanted to say thank you, Representative, for your stand on this issue. It's something I feel very strongly about. And I really, whenever the bill passed and obviously went to the governor and she vetoed it, and then we were able to override the veto, I was very, very thankful, thankful to God that we still have some men and women in our state that believe in things that are right and moral. I just want to say thank you for your stand on that. But also have a question. I was reading an article about how the governor, I believe, it said something about how she wasn't going to require state agencies to comply with what's going to be taking effect here tomorrow. I think in the same article, the attorney general was saying something about if the governor doesn't, he was thinking about sooner. I don't know what all's true. Don't know what to believe anymore. I just wanted to ask you, you know, how does this, I'll rephrase my question. If she doesn't comply, does she have a choice not to choose to comply to require state agencies, like we're talking about driver's licenses and birth certificates, the original document being reverted back to what a sex was defined at birth? It seems to me like if she doesn't comply with the law that is going to affect, you know, we the people have elected, and our voice has been heard in this matter. does she have a choice in this? And it seems to me like she wouldn't be upholding her oath of office, you know, if she doesn't comply. That's my question. I'm going to go ahead and get off the phone. I want to say thank you again so I can listen to your answer here.
Well, thank you so much. And I do appreciate those kind words of encouragement, because often we get negative feedback. But that's one thing that is bothersome for me. I'm new to politics. I'm new to the legislature. But to see just the conflict and what turns out to be negative for the people of Kansas, because the governor is saying, even though the attorney general has the authority to define and summarize these laws and implement, the guidance for these laws, the governor says she will, even though her veto was overridden, she will still fight and possibly sue. But the rule of law still means something, and the attorney general is in charge of determining what is the interpretation of the law. And the attorney general has said, Chris Kobach has said, that if she does sue and try to thwart the law and try to not uphold her oath as governor of Kansas, that he will be happy to fight that. So we'll just see how that plays out. I think a lot of it may be political posturing. Sometimes people on a particular, with a particular party or stance, will say something that will encourage their base and so forth. And I hope that's what she's doing. I hope she is taking her oath of office seriously, and that this will be resolved, and that rule of law will prevail, because that's the way the people of Kansas have set up their state, and from the Constitution in the 1860s on, and that's what will be best for the future. So we're hoping for the best on that.
Reading the article here from the Associated Press, the latest that I have, it says that Governor Kelly is issuing a directive that allows agencies under her control to defy a legal opinion issued earlier this week by Republican State Attorney General Chris Kobach. So I guess it's basically she does have some sort of control over some of these agencies, I suppose. And so she's trying to, even though she can't issue, like, you know, rulemaking or whatever on this, I mean, she could do some sort of executive order, but this is not, you know, it's passed, you know, right. So it is just, it does kind of seem like.
Well. Yeah, and she can direct to defy the state law, but that goes against her oath of office, because the attorney general does have the authority to interpret these things.
Interesting. All right. Well, we will see how this all plays out. And a couple minutes left here as we wrap up our interview with Ron Bryce. Anything else you want to hit on here this morning?
I had the privilege of being in Topeka yesterday, had some meetings up there, and I was encouraged by one of our state representatives, Adam Thomas. He's the chairman of the Education Committee. You may have heard about him, but he, during the session, he had a horrible injury to his face and his eye. He ended up losing his right eye, and he was out when we were trying to do the veto overrides, and we had the veto session basically for the legislature. He was in the hospital. He was injured. Well, he came, he against doctor's orders, I guess, he came in a wheelchair to the state capitol, and when it came down on several of these votes to just one vote, they wheeled him into the chamber, and it was a dramatic thing. He would stand up from his wheelchair, and he would raise his finger up to vote aye, and of all things aye. Yeah. But he had lost his eye, and so it was a kind of a courageous thing. So it was good to see him. He's had surgeries, multiple surgeries on his face now, and eye. He's looking great. He's coming back to next session, and I got to see it in the legislature, and just an insider's view. There are a lot of friendships that develop. It's kind of like at school when you develop friends and you do things together and you're sort of fighting, you know, doing projects together. It's very intense during the legislative session, and you develop relationships and friendships. So when we get back after a few months at this meeting in Topeka, for instance, it's kind of like back in the school days when it's after the summer break and you get back and you see all your friends and it's the start of the school year and catch up on everything. But it was kind of like that. And I just deeply appreciate the relationships and friendships that I've been able to have in the state legislature.
Excellent. Well, hey, we're already out of time, but hey, have a great 4th, Representative Ron Bryce here on the Mighty 690. We appreciate you coming by.